Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. These words may sound radical to some people today, but in fact, they come from the Declaration of Independence, drafted in 1776. In this edition of Radio Curious, broadcast during Independence Week of 2005, we talk with Kenneth C. Davis, author of Don't Know Much About History, and review some of the issues of 1776 from our perspective now. I spoke with Kenneth C. Davis from his home in southern Vermont and asked him to begin by commenting on the role religion played in the Declaration of Independence.
This is such a burning question these days, both in terms of historic America and obviously in terms of what's going on in our country today. You need only look at the questions that the Supreme Court has been dealing with this past year with the Pledge of Allegiance and the removal of the words under God, the recent decision on the Ten Commandments, which was a sort of Solomonic decision, splitting hairs, but splitting the baby in two directions. And so this is a question that really does go back to our roots as a nation. And it was interesting when the whole Pledge of Allegiance question came up initially in California, Mr. Ashcroft, then Attorney General Ashcroft, said that God was mentioned in five of our basic documents, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, on our money, at the Gettysburg Address, and in the National Anthem. Well, four out of five isn't bad, but the Constitution certainly does not include any reference to a deity. And even the Declaration, Jefferson was, of course, a deist. At the end of his life, many people could just call him an outright atheist. He kind of used these polite euphemisms, nature's God, providence, rather than, you know, the Christian notion of God that a lot of contemporary American Christians would like to think Jefferson was talking about. So these are questions that really go back to the central issue of religion in America, religion at the creation of America. There is no question in my mind, looking at this historically, and just from the historical record of what these men said and wrote, that many of them were very religious. They were many of them were devout Christians. But that was a word that covered a lot of territory in those days.
Did they come or their parents come to America or to the New World, as perhaps it was called then, for religious issues, or was it more for economic issues? Can we distinguish the group of men that signed the Declaration of Independence in those terms?
By the time that the 1776 rolls around, most of these men were, and of course they were all men, were usually first and second, perhaps even third generation Americans, although a few of them were recently arrived. One of the most interesting and overlooked of these founders, James Wilson, was a Scotsman who came to America literally with nothing, built a substantial fortune, through hard Scotsman work and thrift, and was a signer of the Declaration, and is also the man who invented the Electoral College, although he didn't call it that. Curiously enough, he's much overlooked, but he went bankrupt at the end of his life. He was a sitting Supreme Court justice when he was arrested and was going to be thrown in debtor's prison. He actually jumped bail, fled south, and where he died, destitute and an embarrassment to the country and certainly to his political party.
So there abandoning was a wide, the Supreme Court.
Absolutely. This was, I guess, a resignation by default. But there was a wide breadth of income. There was a wide breadth of religious experience. Charles Carroll was the only Roman Catholic signer of the Declaration of Independence. In many states or colonies, there were laws that limited what Roman Catholics could do. There were laws against Catholics voting, owning property. So this notion of religious freedom at the base of the arrival of so many Americans usually meant religious freedom for me, not for you. The Puritans who came to Massachusetts were not especially tolerant of other groups. They hung Quakers in Boston in colonial times. In Virginia, where the Anglican Church, which the Puritans had escaped, but was more established in Virginia, they arrested the Baptists. And so you have this tension amongst so-called Christian groups from the very, very beginning of American history.
What is the source of this tension?
The source is, I think, that a certainty that many people have that their faith is the true faith, and they are right, and everybody else is wrong, and if you want to believe, you have to believe what I believe.
And that's pretty true in some parts of the United States and parts of the world now.
Oh, absolutely. It's at the source of a great many of our problems around the world. Absolutely. This notion of faith, religion, belief, and the certainty that people have about it is certainly at the root of some of our very worst problems, both internationally and domestically.
So let's take that concept and apply it to the period of time leading up to the signing, the drafting and the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Was there a change that was going on, a recognition of tolerance, or is that just a fiction?
No, I think there really was, and at least among many of the founders, it was. First of all, these were men of the Enlightenment, and we can't understate the importance of that whole movement in European civilization in the preceding centuries. This was a complete rejection of the notions that that truth was what God and state said it was, God and king for the most part, and of course, God being for most of that time the Roman Catholic Church until the Protestant Reformation comes along, and state being divinely sanctioned kings like the King of England, who was not only the head of state but the head of church. And that's an important point. The men who signed the Declaration of Independence, although many of them were devout Christians, again, a whole range of different belief systems, but I think what all of them would have said was, we don't think it's a good idea for the head of state to also be the head of the church, and that's where this idea of separation of church and state emerges, fitfully at first, but certainly in the Constitution, it is solidified in the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights. And of course, the Constitution nowhere mentions God other than a passing reference to the date being in the year of our Lord, 1787.
Let's diverge here for a moment and talk about the Enlightenment. Who was being enlightened and about what?
Well, the Enlightenment is a whole tumultuous movement that affects religion, philosophy, science, all of these things come bubbling together up out of the post-Renaissance period, essentially, when the notion that the rational mind could understand the laws of nature, the laws of the universe, and those laws of nature that people like Newton were